All right, this morning I have a young man that's going to help me preach. Everybody give my son Joshua a hand as he comes today. All right. Now, we're going to start the last installment again, and this is about three necessities your children should not live without. Okay, everybody turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll turn there myself. We're going to start with verse 3 and go through 4. Now, there are a few things that I found. How many of you guys have ever heard of Murphy's Law before? Murphy's Law on parenting, all right? And these are some of the things that Joshua and I are going to read to you, okay? So as you're turning, I want you to listen to Murphy's Law on parenting. Number one, go ahead, hold it close.
The chances of a piece of bread falling with the jelly side down are in directly proportional to the cost of the carpet.
All right. The garbage truck will be two doors past your house when your teen remembers it's his turn to take out the trash. That rings true to me because that happened to me just this week. All right. The shirt that your child needs to wear today will be the only one that you need to wash. All right, or needs mended, okay? Number four, the item your child lost and must have for school within the next 10 seconds will be found in the last place you would ever think it was, right? That's the way it is, all right? Number five?
Sick children recover miraculously when the doctor enters the treatment room.
Number six?
The chances of seeing someone you know dramatically increases if you drive your child to school without fixing your hair.
Everybody give him a hand. Good job, son. He is funny, isn't he, Ross? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your spirit here in this place. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to get to speak your word. I thank you, Father, for each and every family, each and every parent, each and every husband and wife in this place. And I ask, Lord, that you would use these messages to teach us, to guide us on how to be good lovers of our wives and husbands or our children as well, Father. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, 3 through 4. Actually, let's start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Am I getting some nudging over here? What's going on? There's some angst over here going on with the youth pastor and his family. Oh, there was a pastor and his wife. One evening, his wife had a hobby. And it was, how many of you guys have seen these dolls that look real? I mean, they're like freaky real. You know what I'm saying? I worked in a house, I painted a house one time for this lady, and she had something baking in the oven. And I said, what you got in the oven? And she goes, a baby. And I went, what baby? What are you talking about? I need to call the cops, you know? And so what she pulled it out, and it's these, I don't know, porcelain, I guess, dolls. And they have real human hair and it's crazy, all right? And you can buy them for like $700 and up. I mean, this lady's making a massive amount of money on these fake little babies. But this pastor, his wife, she loved doing this. That was her passion. It was her pastime. And so she was gone that evening to a class to teach her some more about these dolls. And so the husband was out on the front porch talking to his neighbor about something. He hears the phone ring. Well, he's got a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old at the house, and he's watching them, or supposedly watching them, but he's out like every pastor is, gabbing his mouth. And so he hears a phone ring, and he hears his 5-year-old go and answer the phone, and he answered very politely, had a lot of manners when he answered the phone, and the call was for his mother, and he said, "Hello, is your mother there?" And she goes, the 5-year-old said, "No, she's out making babies, but my dad's here." Naturally, the call was one of the deacons, and pastor got in trouble. I had to explain that away. There was an emergency board meeting right then on the spot. Can you imagine? That's my luck right there. John Wilmot, the Earl of Rochester, said this: "Before I was married, I had 3 theories about child raising. Now I have 3 children and have no theories." Isn't that the way it is? We all we're all experts on parenting until we become parents. Then we really don't have a clue, all right? I remember when we brought Christian home for the first time. And we're surrounded by family. Everybody's doing everything for us. Dana had a C-section, so people stayed around longer to help out. Her mom and dad were there. My mom was there. Family was coming in and out. Friends coming in and out. And when all that kind of faded, and I remember the day that her mom and dad left, and it was just me, Dana, and Christian, and I have, like, never changed a diaper before. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, I have no clue what in the world I'm doing. So how many of you guys have ever been there before? Heidi, where you at? There you go. And so, but now you quickly become experts. You know, you quickly become experts on the sounds and what they're doing and their mannerisms and stuff like that. You catch on very quickly. But today I want to talk to you about 3 necessities your children should not live without. Number 1, your love. 1 Corinthians 13, let's turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Start with verse 1, go through verse 7. "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Now, there is a paraphrase of that scripture that says this: "If I offer the best parenting advice and have not love, I am only a 2-year-old banging a dishpan. If I read every book on parenting and if I attend every parenting conference but have not love, I am nothing. If I spend all my salary to provide the best for my children but have not love, I am nothing." And so parents are a sacred thing. You have the opportunity and the power within your grasp to shape that infant into the person they're forever going to be. That's the power that we have as moms and dads. And the one thing that they love and need the most in their life is love. They need that affirmation. John Lennon wrote a song called Love. How many of you guys know that song? It says, "Love is real, real is love. Love is feeling, feeling is love. Love is nothing, love is wanting to be loved. But listen to what his son said about his father. I felt he was a hypocrite. Dad could talk about peace and love out loud to the world, but he could never show it to the people who supposedly meant the world to him. 99% of parents will say that they love their children, and I'm sure John Lennon would say the same thing, but love is more than a feeling. Love is an action. All right? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God showed us that he loved us by his actions, not just by his words. Amen? My dad growing up, I'm going to show you a clip just in a second, but my dad growing up, his dad never said that. And my dad never used that as an excuse to not tell me that he loved me. He never blamed his upbringing and brought his upbringing into parenting to me and my brothers and sister. He didn't do that. What he did was, is he made a decision. I said, Dad, how come you didn't go down the same path as your dad and your brother in alcoholism and all these different things? He said, one simple reason, Jimmy, and it's this. I decided and made up my mind that that was not going to be my life. And it's a decision that we have to make. Love is more than just words. It is action, all right? I want to show you a video. And how many of you guys have ever seen the movie called Dan in Real Life? Oh, my goodness. You guys have got to watch this movie. It's on parenting, okay? This guy is a columnist, and his column is on parenting. He is a professional parent whisperer, all right? And so what happens is, He goes on a trip to Rhode Island with his three daughters. He has three daughters. His wife died 4 years prior to that, and he is just drowning. His kids hate him. He's overprotective, overbearing. And this middle child of his, this 14 or 15-year-old daughter, is passionate about this guy, all right? He saw as he was walking into the ice cream shop, his daughter kissed this kid, all right? And so he started banging on the windows, all right? It just humiliated her to death. And so they went on this trip to his family's house in Rhode Island. And so what happened is this middle child's boyfriend took a bus and went there. And he found them on the shore kissing. And so you're going to see the scene leading up to this. It's coming up. Justin, you got it queued up, Randy? This is him talking to his daughter and trying to explain this. Listen to this. See if you can relate. Did you get the...
No, you don't.
What we have is true love. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean you have to punish us.
Infatuation is not love. Sexual attraction is not love.
You don't understand.
I don't understand.
No, you don't even understand that you don't understand.
What do I understand, Kara? Please, help me out. What is it? It's frustrating you can't be with this person? That there's something keeping you apart, that there's something about this person you really connect with? Whenever you're near this person, you don't know what to say, and you say everything that's in your mind and in your heart, and you know that if you could just be together, that this person would help you become the best possible version of yourself.
Somebody can stay.
I'm sorry. Bus. We called your aunt. She'll be waiting for you in Boston.
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm not your parent, but I think you should know love is a dangerous feeling.
No, sir.
Are you arguing with me?
No, I'm... It's just... El amor no es un sentimiento, es una habilidad. Love is not a feeling, it's an ability.
Told you that.
Meet it up, Mr. Burns. Come say goodbye.
Window.
I miss you
okay,
so much.
She'll see him again soon enough.
Love.
Love isn't a feeling.
No.
It's an ability.
Well, that's true. You have one gifted daughter.
You are a murderer of love!
That's it. Yeah. You are a murderer of love. It seemed like she really meant that. I don't know if that was acting or not, but wow. You are a murderer of love. But love is not just something that you say. It's an ability, all right? It's something that we do. It's something that we are all capable of doing. And the one thing that our kids need more than toys, more than gifts, more than everything that you possibly can give them is your love and your affection and your attention. Amen? Because when my father told me that he loved me, it gave me great value and it gave me great worth. Both my mom and my dad told me every single day that they loved me, sometimes through gritted teeth. I love you, but I don't like what you're doing. Get in your room. But we need to do parents a better job of showing rather than saying. Amen? The saying is important, but the Bible says that we should not be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Because listen, there's great value in doing the word. Amen? Showing that you love somebody. Now, my dad, growing up, his dad did not give him hugs, and so that kind of rubbed off on him a little bit, and he would try to give me side hugs. And so when I was a kid, that's all he would do is give me that side hug, you know, that attaboy, I love you, son. And so when I got bigger than him, which my dad is the size of Dana, how I became this size is beyond me. I have no idea. But when I got to be this size, Dad had no choice, and so I grabbed his other shoulder and turned him in and gave him a full-on chest-to-chest hug. And he goes, oh, okay, son, okay, that's enough. And so my dad always told me, my mom always told me that they loved me, and they showed it. My mom gave up so much so that her kids could have clothes on their back, a home. And when I say that, I literally mean that. My mom gave up going to school. My mom's an intelligent woman. She gave up going to school because she couldn't afford it and she didn't have time for it because of her kids. She was a single mother. And the reason why I have the values I have today is because of my mom and because of my dad. They have made huge impressions on my life, and so do you. You will make huge impressions upon your kids. Some of you, maybe your kids are all grown up and they're gone. It's never too late to tell your children that you love them, that you care for them, that you are there for them. It's never too late. I don't care who you are, amen? It's never too late. Now, 99% of parents will say that they love their children. But love is more than that. It's more than just a feeling. Love is an action. It's something that we do. Dan Benson, in his book, The Total Man, surveyed a number of families and found that every positive statement made in the home, there are 10 negative ones. 10 negative ones. We have an amazing capacity to be overly critical of our kids, don't we? Way overly critical of our kids. I look at the schoolwork that my kids do at this level, and I think to myself, "Holy Moses! We weren't even close to this level when I was a kid." And sometimes we can be overly critical of our kids, and when they make a mistake, we just nail them to the wall because we have such these high expectations for our children when we could have never met those expectations ourselves. Parents, keep your expectations real. Amen. Kids, can I say here, amen?
Amen.
Joshua will remind me of that next time I call him down on something. Now, Dad, remember what you preached? You said. But being overly critical of our kids is a major, major issue in homes today. Having the kids try to live up to something that we could have never lived up to ourselves. So the second thing is, the second necessity that our children cannot live without is your time. Your time. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Be very careful then how you live. Not unwise, but as wise, making the most out of every opportunity because the days are evil. Making the most out of every opportunity. Today, more than any other time, parents need to spend time with their children. Why are our kids in trouble today? Because they spend countless, countless hours with their head stuck in a computer or a TV or a game or something like that. Hanging out with kids, a poor character. Parents, your kids need you. Amen? No time with your kids is wasted, wasted time. Now, I know Christian has this thing he likes to make origami stuff, okay? How many of you guys know what origami is? Okay. So he's going to be doing that in Adventure Week, and he's going to be teaching his own class about how to make origami. I mean, the kid's really talented. And he's made up his own videos and stuff on YouTube. We monitor, of course, what he puts on there. We check it off and say, hey, it's fine, you can post that. And so he gets on there and he explains how he does stuff. And so he can get caught up in that world of origami or TV or whatever it is. And Joshua can too. But I make it a point that we go down to the Catholic church at the beginning of our street, and we go play basketball in our parking lot, or we go in the front yard and throw football, or we hang out together. We go fishing. We do anything that we possibly can do, we do together. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't influence your kids, this society will influence your kids. Amen? I think I said it maybe a few months ago, but there's this music group called Insane Clown Posse. How many of you guys ever heard of them? They are whacked out, all right? Crazy. They dress up like demonic clowns, and they spew alcohol and all this stuff right there on stages. And in one interview, the lead singer of this, with his face painted and sweaty after all the concert, he was jacked up and hyped up, and he looked into the camera and he said, he was being interviewed, and the interviewer said, do you have anything that you want to say to the parents of this generation? He said, yes. Parents, if you don't raise your children, I will. In other words, I will influence them. If you don't want to influence them, give them to me. I'll take them. And that's what this society is pushing toward. We need to understand that you are the biggest voice in their lives. You are the biggest influence, negative or positive. You are an influence. Either way, you make a difference in their life. And the only way that they can hear your heart as a dad or as a mother is if you spend time with them. We only have a limited amount of time to spend with our kids. Are we making the most of it? Number three, the third thing that they need is your discipline. Let me say that again. Your discipline. The kids are going, I'm out. We don't need that. Pediatricians are finding today parents are too permissive. They are reluctant to set limits on their children. More and more parents care more about being their friends than they are their parents. There's a lady named Roberta Bowers, heads up the Center for Early Education and Child Development in Los Angeles, says, schools are replacing parents. Schools now make the rules, which is in many instances are the only rules that are not open to arbitration or negotiation. there was this elementary school, and their playground was adjacent to a very very busy street, and the playground was top of the line, but none of the kids wanted to play on the playground because they were fearful that those cars were going to clip them or something. And so no matter how many helpers they got out there to ensure the kids that nothing was going to happen to them or they weren't going to get run over, the kids just didn't want to go outside and play. And so the school raised enough money and put up this elaborate fence so that the kids could not see the dangers. And they boxed the playground in. And because of those boundaries, the kids went out and they enjoyed the playground. They forgot about the dangers. And so the point is here is that kids need boundaries. They need boundaries. The fence did not limit their freedom. It actually expanded it. The children need fences and clear boundaries in their life. Hebrews 1:11 says this, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Discipline must be exercised in such a way as to lead children to respect their parents. It must not be done in anger or frustration, inconsistent or unreasonable, and in excess. Amen? Now, I'm not going to tell you or define to you what your discipline is. That is up to you and your home. But I can tell you this, that if you leave a child to himself, then he will lose himself. Amen? If you leave a child to himself, he will lose himself. They need borders. They need guidelines. They need direction in their life. And they need those fences to guide them in all of their life. Amen? Now, you can give your kids all sorts of nice things, but what they really need is your love, your time, and your discipline. Those are the things that you must do. I remember one time I can remember my dad whipping me one time, and it was this time. My dad is a very soft-spoken guy. He very loving guy. And I only got to see him on weekends, and he lived on this gravel road, and at the end of the gravel road there was a main road, and then my grandmother lived across the main road. And my dad's out on the front porch, and I start walking down the road, and I'm probably Joshua's age, maybe a little older. And I start walking down the road, and he said, "Son, where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to Grandma's house, going to Grandma and Grandpa's house." He said, "No, son." He goes, "We're going over there later. You stay here." And I said, "No, I think I'm going to go down to Grandma and Grandpa's house." And the gap kept widening, and I don't even look at him, by the way. I'm just talking this way, and he's talking that way. And he said, "Get over here right now." And I turned around and I said, "I'll go to Egypt if I want to." That was the last thing I remember. I don't know. That was, woke up and I was 16, so. My dad jumped off that porch, got me, and whipped me all the way back to the house. That was a long, long walk back to the house, I can tell you. But you know what? It taught me never to talk to my dad in that manner again. I never raised my voice at my dad ever again. He taught me that lesson. That one lesson was a good one. I never said Egypt in his presence ever again either. Those were code words, trigger words. No, thank you. Dad's, I'm sure, laughing up there. But anyway, the thing that our kids need most is love, time, and our discipline. Those things, when you apply those things to your children, whether they look at you and tell you they hate you, they still love you. And sometimes as parents, we got to do the hard thing and say no. We got to do the hard thing and discipline them. And let me say this. When you say that you're going to give your kid a spanking when you get home, you better follow through. Amen? Yeah. If you say that they're going to be grounded for a week from the television, you better follow through. Because kids are experts at loopholes. We were at a Mexican restaurant one time, and Christian was, I don't know, he's probably about 5 years old, maybe four something. And he kept going back and forth over, we were in cubicles, or not cubicles, but booths, there you go. And so he was climbing over the top of the booth to the other side, okay? And I said, son, stop it, stop it. And I'd pull him down, set him down, and he would do it again. And I said, if you do it one more time, I'm going to give you a spanking when we get home. So he stayed there for about 10 seconds. And then he eased back over it. And I said, okay, son. I said, sit here. When you get home, you're getting a spanking. Well, we finished our meal. We ate, had a good time. It's no big deal. We got home. And I said, Christian, go to your room. And immediately he starts crying because he thought Dad had forgotten. And Dana goes, you're not going to do that, are you? And I said, she goes, it was an hour or two ago. And I said I was going to do it, and I'm going to do it. And so I went in there, bent him over my knee, and gave him three licks with my hand. Hurt me more than he did him. But the thing is that I followed through with it. And parents, when you say you're going to discipline your kids, and if you set a time limit on when that discipline is over, you stick to it. Amen? Because we've got to be parents of our word. We've got to do that. It's another way of showing that we love our children by discipline, by loving them. Amen? Amen. And so today I want to encourage you as we end this. I want us to, all the parents, let's all stand up this morning. If we have the parents, if you could get your kids and just come forward. We're going to have the ushers blindfold you. Just kidding. Come on out with your kids. Even if your kids are grown, come on up. Doesn't matter. Christian's sick. Be praying for him. Poor guy. His allergies are so bad. Woke up, his eyes matted together. So he's been dealing with that for over a week. So, but what I want to do here this morning is, if you have come to this church any length of time, you know my heart is family, togetherness, working stuff out. Church isn't about a religious place that you go. It's a place where you go and you meet up with family. The person to your left and to your right, they're your family. And the young kids that you have a hold of, this morning, I want us to begin to just pray over your kids. I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, I just want you to pray over them. I know sometimes you can pull your hair out. They challenge your authority. They challenge your sanity. They challenge every fiber of your being. But you know what that's called? It's called parenting. That's what that's called. And my boys have challenged me. That's just the way it is. Just because they're preacher's kids doesn't mean they have halos around their heads. A lot of times they have horns on them. But I'm just kidding. But what I want to do is pray. Pray over our kids this morning. Pray over your families. And so as I'm praying, I want you to just grab your kids and let's pray, okay? Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I lift up to you, Lord, my family. You personalize this prayer. I lift up my family. I thank you so much that you gave me the desire of my heart, Lord, when you made me a dad. I thank you so much, Father. Lord, as a husband, I guard my family. I'm the gatekeeper, the watchman on the wall of my family. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. I pray, Father, that you would give me influence. And Lord, forgive me if I have negated my role as a father, as a mother, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us understanding. Give us discernment as we parent our kids. I pray, Father, that you would walk with us. Lord, we invite you into our homes. We invite you into our messes. We invite you into our discipline and our love and our time. And we ask, Father, that you would guide our homes, Lord. Help us to be good parents to our children, Lord, that try to give them stuff that we didn't have, but also give them a godly inheritance, Lord. Father, that whenever they grow up, that they'd be strong men and women of God. Not that they'd be perfect, Lord. Not that they would not have mistakes, but Lord, that at the end of the day, they would call you Lord and Savior, that they would be young men and women of God themselves. Lord, I measure my success as a dad by their love for you, Father. Not because I love you, but because they've made a choice to love you because of my influence, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom as parents to love our kids as you love your son, Jesus, and gave him up so that we could all live. And so, Father, we thank you so much for our children. Thank you for our families, Lord. Help us, Lord, to never lose sight of what's important in this life, and that's our children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, turn those kids around and give them a big old hug. No side hugs. No side hugs.